Now you are in your alley. The favorite story of mine, I would like to tell.
Uh-huh.
You would like to hear how the drunk or drunkards, you see, would speak there in the alley.
I like the story because
it's a very telling thing, you know. See how it is.
Because
she was young, she was a baby at the time. Yeah. But then what happened is this.
6 years, 6 to 8 between that time. And the thing is that Baba has always, knowing Baba and knowing his illusion also to some extent, we know that Baba is not going to wipe out all the things and the illusions that we call negative. That the basic habit cannot change. There will be fighting, there will be wanting, everything will be there. Drive, the force which moves these emotions of wanting, seeking, of grabbing, all the things that we do, that will be there. But the habit will change. The shape of the objects will change. What I mean to say is, we will fight, but not for the things that we are fighting now. Not for, this is mine, and I want it. It will not be for that. It will be another kind of fighting. Say, please have this. And I will say, but I already have it. Oh, but you don't love me enough. Please, this is from my heart. Do take it. You know, some of these things we do experience in life with Baba. I'm sure you all do too. For instance, I always like to give this incident when we were at one of the Amarpitis, and Baba lovers come, you know, not break their heart, to accept, to please others by accepting something they keep, even if we don't think it's the thing that you'll ever wear, or you think it's a horror, or whatever, you know. So at Amarpiti time, there's this Andhra, young couple from Andhra, and they said, so the wife came and said, they have different accents when they speak Hindi and English they're speaking. And so the wife says, my son passed about the day. Today, my son passed about the day. And so she brought her first birthday. So she brought these two saris, one for Mera and one for me. And asked her, please, we wear it today. Oh, I said, how lovely, how good. That's not a color that would go for me. And I knew Mera wouldn't possibly wear this color. But I said, yes, yes, of course we will. We will wear it sometime. No, today, today. And my son, the birthday, first birthday, today. Wear it today. Happy. Oh, dear. Then I had to say, all right. So I went in and I said, Mera, this is from a lady from the south. This is for you and this is for me. Oh, so yes. She wants us to wear today. And it's so typical. She didn't say, how can I wear something that will never suit me? She said, but I haven't the blouse for it. I said, no, have I, Mera. We have to do something, even if it's for just this afternoon. So, amazingly, the moment we thought, all right, we will do it for her, we got the blouse, it matched. And when we put it on and went out, everybody saw it from the different eyes. He said, oh, how lovely this looks on you. You know, and the same to Mera, the same to me. Every step, somebody was telling, how lovely you look. Oh, this, where did it come from? I just couldn't believe it. Now, I had it for years till I get it there. So you see what I'm trying to say? The things will be there, but the habits will be different. So that, he says, for instance, like, when we go to some place for lunch, take Eris's family's place, Binder House. They're great sheikhs that are feeding you so well that when you get up, you just can't even waddle. Then we had learned after time to take a little, because the more dishes come, they don't put it all on the table for you to know what's there. They keep coming. And then when you're doing something here, somebody slides a hand, puts a finger up, and puts something more. And then you turn back and say, where did that come from? And we have a habit and a rule, always finish what is on your plate, no waste. At last, when the whole thing would be over, Eris's sister would come in with something, said this. Oh, no, no, now it's impossible. And he said, but I made this with my own hands. How can he say no? You know, so, this incident that she talks about is my mother in our alley, I'm talking about, my mother disliked drunks intensely. if there was a drunk somewhere around in the alley or somewhere, she'd shut her front door and she'd be back in the kitchen doing her thing. But you know, one of the like thieves, for instance, she disliked robbers very much too. So I was surprised when she'd have a bunch of keys under her pillow. And one day it dawned on me, I said, "My, how come you don't like robbers, you're scared of thieves, and you put this whole bunch of keys under your pillow?" I thought it was to protect the house, you see. Oh, she assured me it wasn't anything of the kind. She said, when the thief was there, she might have been in such a quake, she would forget where the keys are. Whereas here, she'd take up the keys, throw it at him and say, "Take what you like, don't come near me." So now in our alley, right very close to our entrance, not far away, was a lamp post. In those days, it was kerosene lamps were in it. Every evening we'd see this man come by with a bamboo ladder under his arm, lean it against the lamppost, climb up, open the door, put some kerosene in it, light the wick, and come down. And it's just to give a little light around. So, but that lamppost served a number of purposes. Housewives would stand by it and discuss their shopping. You know, of course, dogs, as you know, always like lampposts. Or somebody would stand by and listen. But, and of course it was a boon for drunks. They could lean against it too, you see. So one day, I was sitting on the front stoop of our entrance, and there I saw these two drunks. And they were so benevolent. There was so much love and fellow feeling in their eyes. And one of them was telling the other, he said, "You're just like my father." Now you see in India, that's the highest tribute. A father figure is an enormous thing. And so when you tell somebody, accept somebody as your father, you're really praising them, you know. So he said, "You're everything that is noble and big," and the tears were in their eyes, and he was maudlin. And they are, no, don't say that ever again. I'm not fit enough to wipe your shoes. No. It's you, my father. You. Did you hear what I said? You, my father. And this goes on back and forth till the other one gets, one of them gets upset. He says, "Once more, if you call me your father, if you say I'm nobody, if I fish all these things for me, I'm gonna shock you." Well, that one was saying, "You're so great, you're so noble, you're so good." So, he said again, "Is it you're so good, I'm not fit to lick your face." When he went back, they were having a full-fledged fight. By that time, the neighbors had gathered, and they were trying to get them apart, but they were so weak from laughter, they couldn't even get them apart. The fighting was there, but it was not, "You are just, you know, scum of the earth and you are bad." No, "You're so great, you're so noble, I'm nothing, you're everything." And they, over that they thought. And I would tell Eric, I said, "You know, in terms of the new humanity right in our alley, I have..."